You know, God's desire for each and every one of us is a renewed mind. Tell your neighbor, say, you need a renewed mind. Tell your other neighbor, say, you definitely need a renewed mind. Dan, did you say that to anybody? Dan, come here, please. Come, please, please, Mr. Knapp, please. Right up here with me. Come and join me.
I need a renewed mind.
I just happened to see you looking down, and I'm like, oh, yeah, found one. Yep. We have to have a renewed mind. And I don't care how long you've been in Christ, it still needs more. Can we agree? Why? Because we're not living in the fullness of all that he's promised us. What promises are you standing on? You see, how are they written down? Are they on your mirror there? What are the promises that he said that you can wage war with? You see, I don't believe that we need a whole lot more teaching. I believe that we need people to grab a hold of a promise and to lay it on the floor and start crying out and not stop until that promise comes to pass in our lives. Because our God said that he will hear and answer our cry, according to his word. And I'm not mad. I'm just so excited. I'm only getting mad when I hear people saying things contrary to the word of God. In the house of God. I expect it outside on the streets. But I don't expect it inside the house. I don't know what to do. Liar! We know what to do. Read the word and do what the word says. Right? Oh, I'm a failure. Liar! You're not a failure. You can't fail. You are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Tired of hearing the things that are contrary to the word of God spoken in the house of God. Amen. You're free. Yes. You're free to do and to say what he said. We need our minds renewed. I don't know what I want to do. It's not about you. Right? How many times do we hear this? I don't know what God has for me. Why is that? How easy is that to figure out? Love God, love one another. That's where we start. Love your neighbor. That'll take you a while. Bless them that curse you. There's another week. Right? Pray for those who spitefully use you. Give to those in need. How hard is it to figure out what God wants us to do? Train up the young ones. Right? Grab a hold of a young person. Invite them into your house. And say, I see you out there walking around. Come here, I want to tell you who you really are. It doesn't matter their age. Listen, when you get that point that you need nothing from no one, freedom comes. When you believe, when you truly believe, this is why we got to have our minds renewed, right? According to the scriptures, because when your mind starts to get renewed, when you walk into the room and you know Jesus Christ is the answer for every situation and every person's life, no matter where they come from. And even if they've been in Christ for a very long time. Can I tell you, I need him more today than I ever have. I need a clear understanding of who he is, what his word says, and what I am to do. And then I've got to have action to what I think, according to his word, right? Renewing our mind is thinking like him. Can we agree? Turn to Romans 12, chapter 1, or verse 1 and 2. You know it, you've heard it a million times. And that's the problem. How many times do we hear things and we just blow them off? Or we say, oh yeah, I got this one down. I've studied this in the Greek and the Hebrew. But he said, therefore, I urge you, I beg you, I'm telling you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. Stop. You want to know what to do? Get rid of the drugs. Throw out the cigarettes. Watch what you're eating. You want to know what to do in the beginning? That's what he said. Present your body. Don't beat it. Don't just destroy it. Don't sit there and say, I can't. You don't understand. It's so hard. It is hard to walk in the spirit when your flesh dominates. But I want you to know, greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. So nothing's impossible for them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Amen? Amen. Everything becomes possible, and yet we've made excuses and said, I can't. Why? Because our mind isn't renewed and I'm more powerful. My problem is more powerful than the word of God. And that's just not true. It's more powerful than the spirit of God. Pastor, you don't understand. And sometimes it takes work. Right, Sue? I remember when Sue Lambert stopped smoking. Was that last week? No, it was... How many years ago, Sue? 19 years ago. She wanted it. She didn't want it anymore. She had it. I want freedom. And she was on her kitchen floor, curled up in a ball because she wanted, her flesh wanted it so bad. And she said, no, I will be free in the name of Jesus. Now 19 years of freedom. More money in Mike's pocket, too. Present your bodies. Present your body. Your body is not your own. You were created by the King of Glory. You said it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. Now my body is yours. My future is yours. My purpose is you. And that's it. But you see, so many times we back off. Why? Because we need to renew our minds again. It says it's your spiritual service of worship. It says, do not be conformed to this world. How many things in your house glorify the world? How many things do we give our time to that have everything to do with the world and nothing to do with the kingdom? How much time do we spend planning in order to build the kingdom of God rather than enjoying the things of this world or becoming a part of the things of this world? But it said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. You want to know what the will of God is? It's so easy. The opposite of what the world is doing. Whatever you see the world chasing after, go the opposite direction. Yes. It's so simple. TikTok, go the opposite direction. Yeah. No talk. I don't know what else is happening. Somebody was telling me that if you have TikTok on your phone and that phone comes into your house, then it's allowed to go on every other device in your house. And tap into that and take all of that information from every other device you have in your house. The Chinese are pretty smart when it comes to this stuff, and they're taking all the information that you have in your house. Enjoy. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that you that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If you want to prove what the will of God is, then we're going to have to take our body, we're going to lay it down, we have to renew our minds daily, we have to read the word of God. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. It says, by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. What did he say? Renew your mind daily. Put the word of God before our minds daily. How many other things do we do outside of putting the word before our eyes daily? Or maybe listening to it in the car. What do we listen to when we get in the car? What do we listen to when we're at home? What do we spend our time? What do we put before our eyes? He said, listen, if you love me, right, if you want to get to know me, then we're going to have to keep his commandments. It says, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, the love of God has truly been perfected. So when we walk according to the word of God, we renew our minds daily, then we're perfecting the love that God, that we have towards the Father. It says, by this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought to also all himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. How simple is that? Jesus walked a pretty simple walk, didn't he? He said, birds of the air have nests. Right? He said, where do I have to lay my head down? Foxes have dens, but where do I have? He wasn't really into how many houses he could acquire before he was done. He was more into the souls of men and women before he was done and accomplishing the plan of the Father. Before he was done. And this is why we have to renew our mind, because so many people are living less than the joy and the freedom that God has given them. So many are living in a lifestyle that is so far below the promise of God. And that's what breaks my heart when I see people in bondage and they stay there. They just stay there. Brother, you don't understand. You know how many times I've heard that? So many times. I understand one thing, that the word of God is enough. Amen. For every situation. Every problem I have, I found the answer in the word of God. From the day that I got saved and God washed away my sins, it took me about 3 years to actually understand that and actually believe it, because there was a list. They had the old scroll, the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were my dead man scroll. And it was a long list. And for me to believe that God could forgive and wash all of that away and he would never use it against me or beat me with it, took me about 3 years to actually believe that. And it was like, I don't know. Yeah, but it was, and I would just keep thinking of things. What did I think on? Not the word. All I thought about was what I had done. All I thought about was me. Can I tell you? You beat yourself up enough, you don't need anybody else to beat you up. And it needs to stop. Because see, renewing your mind is saying who you are according to the word of God. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creature. I'm free indeed. All things have been made new. Everything. You see, because until we renew that, when we stand in front of the mirror or in front of anybody else, we're going to cower back. We're going to cower down. When we were down in Myrtle Beach, and God blessed us because we booked it like last September, and I didn't look up when Bike Week was. Yeah. But praise God, we were only there one night, the last night of Bike Week. It was loud. The Harleys and the music and echoing and bouncing all over the place, but you know, it was no problems. And then everybody, it started to rain on Sunday, and then they all left a little bit early. Peace and quiet. Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And then we didn't know the next week was Black Bike Week. So they have another week of bikes, but it's all the black people come. And they fill it all up. But we were leaving Friday, and that started Friday night. I booked it a year ahead of time, and I never checked to see when any. I didn't even know about the other bike week. But God was just so good to us. And then there was this lazy river, and there was these 10 guys, and they're all standing around. Well, they're sitting in the middle of the pool, and they're all drinking beer and stuff like that. And so I was walking around the lazy river, and I come around, and I said, let me guess, a bachelor party. You don't usually see 10 guys sitting together. Well, didn't used to anyway. But I said, let me guess, bachelor party. And they said, yep. I said, wonderful. Who's the groom here? And one guy said, I am. He said, my name's Dan. I said, hey, Dan, nice to meet you. I said, geez, you look familiar. He said, yeah. I said, yeah, you ever been in prison? No. So I give it a shot, you know. And he said, why, are you a prison guard? I said, no. He said, what are you? I said, you tell me. I don't want to tell him I'm a pastor. Because then they shut down, right? I said, no, you tell me. Oh, you were a cop. No, I'm not a cop. You're a CEO. No, I'm not a CEO. And they go on, and I said, well, let me ask you guys a couple of questions. And I went through the questions about who Jesus is. We went through the blood of Christ, the power of the blood, how it changes our lives. Went through it all for half an hour. I got to preach with these guys. And then I said, okay, what's the, Dan, you're getting married. You must know it all by now. He was like, I know quite a bit. Yeah, you could tell he was the sharpest tool in the shed, huh? That's when you keep your mouth shut when people ask you that question if you've never been married. So I said, so what's her greatest need? Me. Yep, he's a genius. I said, her greatest need is security. And he was like, huh. But several other guys were sitting there, and they're like, and they're looking at me. And I said, Dan, what's your greatest need? I said, don't say the first thought comes to your mind, because that's wrong. And he was like, love. I said, close. I said, but you need respect. I said, because if she comes in and says, yo, Dan, you big stud, and he goes, Just that little smile. I said, see what it does? It changes your facial expression. You need respect. And this other guy sitting over there goes, what was her greatest need again? I said, her greatest need is security, and yours is respect. And they were like, man, that's good. And then I talked about your two great, the two most important questions you got to ask. And we went all through that, but for half an hour, I got to preach to these 10 guys I'd never met before because I needed nothing from them. I didn't care if they were all sitting there, all throwing beer around, you know. It wasn't Bud Light. It was something else they were drinking, but they're all sitting around. And they were like, hey, you want one? And they were asking me questions that were crazy and way stuff I haven't heard in a long time, all right, since I've been walking with Jesus. But I didn't want to tell them who I was. And at the very end, they said, hey, you didn't tell us what you do. I said, well, I've been a pastor for 24 years. They went, See, that's why I don't want to tell them, right? Because I want their minds to be renewed before they make a presupposition about me. And then they all clam up. And the guy said, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't ask you those questions that I asked you. I said, that's all right. I'm here because of you. I drove all the way to Myrtle because God has a plan for all of your lives. And by the time I got done with these guys, one of them walked over, two of them actually came over later, and they said, all right, I've never heard stuff like this before. This stuff is life-changing, the one guy said. Tell me what she needs again. But can I tell you, it's because when you know who you are, when your mind is renewed, when your body is his, when you don't care about man's opinion, what did we say? We wanted a shirt that says, people's approval is overrated. Oh, that the church, ask Jesus. Ask the disciples that people's approval is overrated. If you're going to do it for people's approval, that's what all the social nonsense is about, right? Oh, I got 25 likes. You're going places. Isn't that what it's all about? Somebody noticed me. Somebody paid attention to me. Somebody liked me. Somebody agree with me. That's what they're all craving, is you pay attention to them. That's why the mind needs to be renewed, because Christians get caught up in that too. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I got 830 friends on Facebook. Do you even know 830 people? No. Do you even know if they're real? What? You know how many people are on my Twitter feed? Nope. None. How many do you sit with? None. How many do you train? None. Now, I'm not saying nothing wrong with Twitter, throwing the word of God out there. Why? Because the word of God never returns void. But if it's doing it in order to get somebody to approve of you, just look at your neighbor and say, I don't approve of you. Tell them, say, good thing God does. Right? This isn't about man's approval. We've got to get away from that. We've got to stop doing it in order to be liked. We've got to stop living in such a way because we're afraid that somebody might reject me. I want you to know people are going to reject you. And the time goes darker, as this time gets closer to Jesus Christ coming back, even people in the church are going to reject you. It says that parents are going to reject their children. Children are going to reject their parents. Are you ready for that kind of rejection? Is that going to cause you to back off and say, I just can't do the church thing. It's too hard. I just can't serve God. You don't understand the cost. You don't know what it's cost me, Pastor. My son won't talk to me. For now, wait till his car breaks down. He'll talk to you. But if we're going to make all of our decisions based on how they respond, then we're going to live less than all the promises of God being fulfilled in our lives. But if we'll live according to what his word says, everything starts to change, right? last Friday, I was taking a walk, and I just walked. I was going to go down to the river and just spend my lunch hour just in prayer down there. I love sitting overlooking, looking north, south, east, and west, and praying for all the churches in the area. And I got to the end of City Hall Place, and this one lady was walking across the street. I said, how you doing today, ma'am? And she says, oh, not too bad. I said, what does that mean? She said, oh, my back and my knee. I said, can I pray for you? She said, okay. And we're standing in the middle of City Hall Place here. And I just put my, I grabbed her hand and put my hand on her shoulder and just started praying for a healing. And we started talking about the things of God. And I couldn't hardly understand her. She's from Cuba. But we had a wonderful conversation. You know, it's sort of like when you can't hear on the phone, you get every third word. And that's, you know, when it's breaking up, that's what it was. But by the time we got done, she said, thank you. That is so kind. Can I tell you, the world wants prayer. The world's waiting for the church to pray for them out there. Yes. None here. We do that all the time, don't we? We just prayed for Hope. Don't ask again, Hope. We're done. We pray in here all the time. But God's looking. See, because when our minds start to be renewed, does Christ live on the inside of you? Is he the Almighty? Is the power, does the Holy Spirit live on the inside of you? Is there anything the Holy Spirit can't do? Well, he formed the world. He pulled the mountains up out of the water. First, he separated the water from the heavens and the earth. Then he pulled the mountains out of the earth all by himself. I think anything that I need from him is a piece of cake. I think the biggest issue is me agreeing that he can do it. Don't you tell me he can't do it. Amen. I'm going to have to sing that again. 1 John 2:3, it says, or one way we can say it is, we know our minds are renewed when we keep his commandments. You can tell somebody's mind is renewed by the way that they speak and live. And we have to walk in the same way that he walked. Ephesians 4, 22 to 24. It says, that put you off concerning your former conduct. The old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So you're going to have to put off the former conduct. You're going to put it off. It's going to take work and effort on your part. Your old friends that come and say, hey, let's go do this again. No, I'm going to put that off. Whatever you're watching on television, no, I'm going to put that off. Whatever you're ingesting into your body, no, I'm going to put that off. I don't want them old lusts of the flesh. I'm going to put that off because I'm going to put on a new man. And putting on a new man simply says, I'm going to go see what the Word of God says that I'm supposed to be doing with my time, my effort, my finances, with my family. What am I supposed to be building right now? And the Word of God is quite clear. And everything starts to change when we start to put on that new man. But so many times, people don't want to put on that new man. Because I still want to do what I want to do and tell God, bless this. How about put off your old complaints? Tell your neighbors, I've had enough of your complaints. Oh, did you hear that? Oh, years of it. Same one. It's amazing how long we use the same complaint, nothing changes. Isn't that funny? Or we agree with people that have the same complaint. You'll know them by the company, you're known by the company you keep. Right? Those church services go too long. Yeah, they do. That pastor don't ever shut up. No, he don't. You'll hang out with those that are walking in the direction that you want to walk. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I wanted to be around men of God. I wanted to be in the church. I wanted to be serving. I wanted to do what God called me to do because I did everything I was doing and it was all wrong. And then I got saved and got married and my wife had been doing what God called her to do most of the time. Not perfect, but she's close enough to perfect for me. It's not even Mother's Day. This is pretty good. And so for me, it was renewing every thought that I had and figuring out how to do it. And I wanted to be around those that were doing it, not those that were playing church. I don't want to be around those that are playing church. See, because if you're playing church, you're not going to be very comfortable here.
That's right.
Just the way it works. Because when the word of God comes, it cuts us, doesn't it? If we're going to make a covenant with God, there's going to be a cutting away of our hearts. Our heart now is in covenant with the Father. It's always a blood covenant. In order for there to be a blood covenant, there's going to have to be a cutting away. And he wants to cut away that old man. He doesn't want to stop the complaining. He said, I know I've heard all your complaints. He's heard every single one of them. And you know what he said? I've got answers for that. How about read it? Yeah, but I don't understand it. Okay, I put people in your life. Go ask them how to get past and over this, how to get through it. Amen? Isn't this what the body does? You older folks, train the younger folks. Men with men, women with women. No problems that way in the church. Because you know what? We've got to change our perspective. I shared this on Wednesday night with everybody in the church, deacons, in the deacon meeting. And I want to read this to you, and I want you to think about it, because your perspective has to shift. You know, sometimes the only difference between anxiety and excitement is the story we tell ourselves about what we are feeling at the time in our bodies. The only difference between anxiety and excitement is the story we tell ourselves about what we are feeling at the time in our bodies. Because anxiety and excitement physiologically often present themselves exactly in the same in the way we experience them. See, it's all about how you present it to yourself. We got a flat tire. Okay. Who are we going to win to Christ that comes and helps me fix this? Right? Oh, no, I got a flat tire. I don't know if I have a spare. I don't know where that jack is. Oh, nobody told me how to change a tire. Right? It's all your perspective. How many people freak out over a flat tire? Calling somebody up, I don't know what to do. It's a flat tire. I know. They'll agree with you, but yet lose their minds over it. The bank made a mistake and froze my account. What do I do? Change banks. I don't know, but okay, Lord, how are you going to fix this? You see, it's all how we tell ourselves. My marriage. Oh, my marriage. Anxiety. My marriage is going to honor God. And I'm going to stand on the word of God until everything changes. See, so it's either anxiety or it's excitement. I don't know about you, but we've had a lot of fun changing our marriage, haven't we? Absolutely. You know, you fight and then you make up. That's how it works, isn't it? You disagree and then you get along. She's wrong and then you found out it was you. Every single time. I had to change my perspective. Now I just say, you're right. Perfect peace. Okay, not all the time, but sometimes. I just want to encourage you. You see, when we renew our mind, how much progress have you made this year? Remember, the first of the year, we all made vows of how we were going to change. We fasted, we prayed, and we said, God, we're going to do things different from here on out. My life isn't going to be the same. Half the year is over. What's changed? Have we renewed areas of our mind? Have we written them down and not stopped until we got the victory in them and grabbed a hold of the promises of God, wrote them down for ourselves, our marriages, our children, our grandchildren, whatever it is, our job, anywhere that you walk? Have you written them down? And what's changed this year? Has it been that the promises of God are yea and amen, or is it the problems in this world are yea and amen? Because one of the two is going to rule us. And I want to encourage you today, allow the word of God to rule you. He said in Psalm 50 and verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I shall rescue you and you will honor me. That's one of God's promises. You call on him in a time of need, he said, I'll rescue you. That's a promise you can take to the bank. Every time I've been in trouble, I cried out to my God and I thought everything was over. I can't tell you how many times I thought this church was going to not make it. Or at least I wouldn't make it as the leader of here, one of the leaders. I figured it was over. Things happened, get accused of stuff and think, well, it's done, it's over. Well, I can always go back to plumbing. I'm telling you, I've had them thoughts many times over the last 24 years. But then I called upon him. Then I cried out to him and said, God, this is in your hands. I don't have a clue how to walk through it. I don't know how to do it. But my God, it's in your hands. It's your house. I'm your son. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. And then he carried us through every single time. Another promise he gave you in Isaiah 26 and 3, he said, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. He'll keep you in perfect peace. How many want to walk in perfect peace? Then your mind's got to be stayed on him, not on your situation. Your situation is about to change. Tell your neighbor, say, your situation is about, prophesy over them, your situation is about to change. It's about to change. For him whose eyes are on the Lord, for him who agrees with the promises of God rather than the problems of this world, your situation is about to change. Stand up this morning. Look, these are the promises that he gives us, and it gives great hope. There's joy in the Lord when we stand on his word because it changes every situation. Look at where you're at now compared to where you were. Look at what he's done. If you're married, you know you didn't deserve that gift standing next to you. And all the women said, amen. And all the men said, hallelujah. It's so true. And yet God in his grace and in his mercy gave you a gift that you didn't deserve. Someone to walk alongside. Then he gave us kids. And that changed our world forever. Then he gave us grandkids. And that changed our world forever. And then one day, if we live long enough, we'll have great grandkids and they'll change our world forever. But what I want this morning is your world to be changed forever. He whose mind is stayed on him and him alone. Everything you put your hands to, he said, I'll prosper it. That means you're going to have to get a job. You'll have to work. That's what he said. I'll bless you. You think God's got enough blessings for everybody in here? Yes. Look, if you don't think so, I'll take yours. I'm not greedy. I'm just a real, you know, it's just reality. If you don't think God can bless you, I'll just tell him, say, give it to Pastor Jerome. Amen. He deserves it. See, I believe God wants to bless every one of his kids. Because I believe that your situation is about to change. And I believe that as we renew our mind and we just agree with the word of God, we're going to have what his word said. Yes. Therefore, not only you, but your whole family will be saved. Yes. Amen. Right? Therefore, no matter what you go and do, God's going to supply. Hey, Hope, has God supplied your need for what? You've just been tramping around the world for years and he's always supplied, right? Did he supply this time? Right. Look, if you're single, you're not supposed to be distracted with anything else but the kingdom of God. It's just that simple. Look, we got married, had kids. My goodness, they suck up a lot of your time. And every other resource you ever try to acquire. But boy, are they well worth it. But if you're single, you shouldn't be distracted with anything else besides the kingdom of God and giving yourself to it. And as you give yourself to it, God's going to add more to your life. That's what the scripture says. This isn't coming from me. See, when we start to agree with the word of God and allow it to renew our minds and everything starts to change and his kingdom is expanded and your life is fulfilled. It's amazing how that works. So whatever God's called you to do this afternoon, do it and do it quickly. Whoever he's asked you to go and forgive, go and forgive. Whoever he's asked you to go and repent to, go and repent. Whoever he asks you to go and bless, go and bless. Whoever he says, hey, you haven't been to see your mama in a while, or your daddy in a while, whatever it is, your grandma in a while, go and do it quickly. Whatever he's called you to do, he's just looking for an act of obedience according to his word. And his Holy Spirit is going to lead you into all truth. And he always starts off with baby steps, thank goodness. He didn't tell you to sell everything and go to Africa. That's what Hope's going to do. And God supplied graciously to her. Tommy's been over there already. And God supplied all of his needs. You know the problem is without our minds renewed, we don't believe that God's that big that he could supply for something that spectacular in our lives. I want you to know he's got something more spectacular planned for you if you'll believe for it. If you'll believe for it, you'll have more than you ever dreamed of. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about a life that's rich, not just one that has money. But if you'll believe, the whole world is at your hands. It's at your fingertips. Go and do the will of your Father. We've got to renew our minds. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the body of Christ this morning. Lord, I thank you for the gifts that are here, every man, woman, and child. Lord, and I pray that our minds will be renewed, that we would learn to dance with you again. Lord, that no matter what comes, we would just start to rejoice in you. Father, that no matter what it is, we know that you're an overcomer. You have overcome, and so do we, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But Father, we also know that you're a God that makes a way where there seems to be no way. And you're the one that leads us by the hand all the way into eternity. We don't have to worry about eternity because you've already gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. Father, I pray that faith would arise in the house of God. Yes. That as we walk out these four doors and we go, we're going to go pray for somebody because we need nothing that they have and they need everything that's inside of us. Father, I pray for a revival in every heart. I pray for a hunger to tell one person about the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that everywhere we walk, we would just be looking, going to and fro, saying, who's the next one, Lord? Who's the next one that gets set free, delivered, and healed because of the word of God that I've hidden in my heart? Father, I pray for courage for the household of faith. Courage. We know your word said to Joshua, be courageous. Be the one that steps out. Be the one that prays for somebody. Be the one that reads the word of God. Be the one that prays in tongues for hours and hours. Be the one that goes and doesn't care who's going with them. Be the one that's not worried about approval from other people, but is obeying the word and plan of God for our lives. Father, we walk out of this house. We're going to be that one that says, as for me and my house, we're going to serve. We're going to serve you. Above all else. So, Father, today we humble ourselves before you. We ask you to forgive us of anything that we place before you. No more complaining. Now we're going to proclaim. We're going to proclaim your word over every situation. Lord, let nothing come out of our mouths that destroys or tears apart or rips apart. But let it be that which builds and edifies and encourages and strengthens. Let us be the men and women of God with a purpose this week, that as we go out into a lost and dying world, that every light shines bright. We find ways to encourage others and to lead them to you. Lord, our greatest cry is that you're glorified in the way that we live all week long. Be glorified, Father. We repent of any thought that's contrary to faith. Forgive us for dwelling on thoughts that have no faith in them. Forgive us for dwelling on thoughts of yesterday that would cause us to hold back instead of press in. Thoughts that would cause us to sit down rather than stand up. Thoughts that would cause us to hold on what you have given us rather than release it into other people's lives. And Lord, I pray for a stirring of every prophetic gift in here. Every pastoral gift in here. That the fivefold ministry would arise, oh God. And each one, and those with the gift of hospitality, those with the gift of giving, Lord, that each one would say, I'm going to do it with all of my heart. Yes. I'm not holding back any longer because I believe you're able. Father, bless the body of Christ today. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. And listen, go find somebody to talk to.